time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We back. Another week in the books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Marching on them. You know, we third month of 2025. I don't know if it's flying yet, but, you know.
It's halfway through March already.
Ain't that some shit? It's kind of crazy, man. It's kind of crazy how this time is speeding. Anyway, but I hope y'all being present for it all. I don't know. I just wanted to say that. I just said that to me, honestly, for sure, for sure. But yo, Muhammad, what's good? How you feeling?
Ah, man, I'm motherfucking tired.
As a young
thug daughter would say.
We're fresh off the flight, huh?
Yeah. Just got back in from Miami. Miami Gardens, to be specific.
Go ahead.
So down there for Jazz in the Gardens, you know what I'm saying? Basically, three straight days of us working. Had a nice team down there. Shout out to the team, you know what I'm saying? Slusa Productions and Johnny Jones and B Moore and C Bass, you know what I'm saying? David, Liam, the whole crew put in a lot of work this week. I mean, I probably logged 30,000 steps a day, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, that's real.
12, 15 hours a day, you know. A better
it's work. That's work shit right there. Keep going.
I think Sunday through Monday, it wasn't even like, I think we finished shooting at the spot about 1:30 in the morning, and then had to deliver an edit, like a quick recap edit of the day. So all Monday, nigga ain't sleep Sunday through Monday. Wow. He went to bed last night and was out like a mummy.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was what's up, man. I had a good time, though. It was interesting to be, you know, in the neighborhood where you grew up, and this is going on. Like, we ain't never had no shit like this. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to the city of Miami Gardens and Shirley Gibson, I think, the one who it started under her regime. Shout out to Vernita, who is the city manager, who is actually doing some, you know, hands on the ground, day to day stuff for the festival and the reason that we in there. So, yeah, man, it was a great time. You know what I'm saying? It was perfect weather. You know, it wasn't a cloud in the sky, but it wasn't that hot. You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, 70s and then down in the 60s at night. So it was beautiful.
That's what's up. Sounds dope. Now, let me ask you, were you so immersed in the work that you didn't really get a grasp for the performances or whatever? Because I seen some clips online, but I knew you was going to be down there. So I was looking forward to hearing if you saw any of this and if you got any type of recaps.
Man, I ain't see none of them damn performances. Not that I didn't want to see them. I heard them. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I was on the other side. I was behind the stage, you know what I'm saying, making sure shit was going right. I didn't shoot any of it, so I didn't see the performances. They looked dope. Everybody was on time. It moved like clockwork. So everybody was worried that, you know what I'm saying, Lauryn Hill might be late like she be doing. But she was on time like a motherfucker, man. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
She was on time. She actually played a little longer. She asked to play a little longer than her set. You know what I'm saying? She brought out Busta. She brought out Dolce, which was crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I seen her running around, so it's like, you know, watching somebody who's on the verge of becoming iconic, you know what I'm saying, in their early stages, you know what I'm saying,
was
dope. You know what I'm saying? She was still young and excited, taking pictures of her own, you know what I'm saying, taking, you know, selfies and shit, you know what I'm saying, riding on the little trailer and being, being an artist and not, like, you know how it's going to be in 5-10 years after they done, you know, did about 4 or 5 big albums, hopefully, in her case. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be another thing, you know what I mean? But at this time, it's exciting to see the young excitement, you know? And she's from Florida, so it just made a lot of sense. And And then it was beautiful energy to see. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's what's up. Did you didn't get a chance to chop it up with her at all?
Nah, because one, I wasn't really out there like that. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I was like in and out of these buildings, managing the edit. And then we had another a room that they did all the interviews in. And she came on, you know, Lauren was the last one of the night. So it was kind of, you know, that's when security shut shit down. And Lauren wasn't doing interviews. So, you know what I'm saying, wasn't that much access as far as, you know, those last performers. Because then you know, it'd be time to go. Niggas be ready to get up out of there. So it was cool, though. You know what I'm saying? We covered everything that we could. And it was cool to see. I understand it because I've been around for a minute. So I understand how shit move and how shit go. So it wasn't like a disappointment not to be able to, the team not to be able to talk to her. Because I understand how that shit go. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's interesting that, you know, he was like, she's on her way to become an iconic, right? Uh-huh. And you're like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 more albums coming or something like that, right? Uh-huh. And then so many people compare her to Lauryn Hill, you know what I mean? Who's, you know, singing and rapping and who is, you know, undoubtedly iconic.
Right.
And but solo, she got one album. She got one album. That's
it. Still made it though. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm just saying it's just kind of interesting. She got that one album similar to Dolce, that one, that debut piece, got the album of the year and threw them deuces. You know, maybe not as, you know, maybe not that wasn't as linear, but it was just like, yeah, one and done, and I'm still that motherfucker.
Still. You know what I'm saying? And you don't get to choose that a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, especially as a fan. You know what I'm saying? Especially as somebody on the outside looking. You don't get to choose what it is. Biggie only had two, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's still the icon of rap.
For
you
sure,
know what I mean?
For sure.
So you don't really get to choose the output. Everybody not going to be Pop. The nigga dropping albums 10 years after he died.
Mm-hmm. Or Prince. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody not going to be prolific in that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know what I'm saying, we going to see what it is. But also, everybody don't come out on their first run or whatever run it is for her in her career and not only tackle the music side, but also tackle the media and image side as well. You know what I'm saying? And bring it all together at once. Like, that don't usually happen. You know what I'm saying? Where you got a dope mixtape per se, then you go on to do legendary performances, then you go on to Fashion Week and just kill that shit just by your presence. Everybody don't get to do that, you know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't like Rihanna, you know what I'm saying? Right. So to see that, you know what I'm saying, you only can, you know, have anticipation for more things to come, and ultimately, we don't get to choose if they do come or not. We only know right now, motherfuckers in it and doing that shit at a high level, even at the space where they from. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, both of the, you know, she's been tapped by icons already with Kendrick on the same label. You know what I mean? With Lauren, tapped her to come out to Miami Gardens and join her on the stage. You know, shit, you know what I'm saying? Everybody don't get that. You know what I mean? Everybody don't get the accolades plus the respect from not just your peers, but your predecessors and your motherfucking icons that's already out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it exciting to me.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely exciting. It's almost throwback. You know what I mean? It reminds me of, like, you know, prior to, like, I guess social media, prior to, like, going back maybe last, I'm linking, like, last big run where it was not only music impact but also press impact. Maybe, like, 50. I would say Jeezy, but I don't know if the press was the same, but you know what I mean? Like, it was just that old, like you said, everybody ain't Rihanna, kind of that old guard of this is a star. You know what I mean? This is you know, the building is behind this person. You know what right. I'm saying? Like nowadays, we in the bedroom era. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it might not be the building. Exactly. The building. Nah, nigga, this is the room. It's right here. It's the laptop.
And quite frankly, last year, she was a SoundCloud rapper, you know?
For sure. And a YouTuber.
A YouTuber. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you want to call it, you know? Mm-hmm. And see, Jeezy, when you say the press, it wasn't necessarily just that he didn't get the press like that. He was dope in the streets, and he decided that that was his lane, I guess. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's only certain players that can play it from a style perspective, a music perspective, an intellectual perspective. You know what I'm saying? And then deal with the press at the same time. And then the press get to say, wow, these motherfuckers is doing it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe because the building's behind them. Maybe because motherfuckers are just interesting. Because you don't get that many interesting motherfuckers all the time. You get good music. You get good artists. You know what I'm saying? You get people who hold their shit down. Like, we get new bumps every day. New bang out hits all the time. You know what I'm saying? So... But when you could pull it all together, that's when it becomes like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers is on doing something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nah, it's dope. It's dope to see. You know what I mean? It's dope to see. You realize it, you know. You realize it's good to see it and realize it in the moment. So you could really be, like I said, present for it all. Like, really appreciate it as it happens. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to wait for the documentary and be like, oh shit, yeah, that did happen. You know, yeah. Now the reason I asked that you get to speak to her, because I know, you know, she shouted out Chip Man, you know what I'm saying? Right. So y'all got that connection or whatever, so that would have been kind of cool.
Nah, it's like this, you know how I be. I ain't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I ain't get it.
A little antisocial, I don't know. But when I did, closest I got tour with my own self, I was coming through from one space to the next, and I seen her on the what you call them cars, some little backstage golf carts. I seen her on the golf cart. They was taking her back to a trailer or whatever, and they was stopped right there. But there's a crowd of motherfuckers doing what crowd of motherfuckers do,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And you know, I'm other situation. I meet everybody I'm supposed to meet when I'm supposed to meet them. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
And I ain't never in a space of, I ain't going to see nobody again. If I don't, I don't. But, you know what I'm saying? I know I will, you know? So it's never a trip to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I have to impress upon a motherfucker who I am. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? You know, we work with this with your teams and stuff. A lot of times, you know, you might be doing something with somebody and then, you know, you want to insert the story of how you met them or where you remember them from. And that shit don't be mattering because the motherfucker ain't going to remember that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nigga met 30,000 motherfuckers in the last week.
You know that was saying? Your memory. That was your. You don't remember we was in the elevator. It was at the, nigga, what? Yeah, man.
Elevator. You know how many elevators I've been in yesterday?
I've been up for so long. Life is an elevator. Right. But that's true.
So I move a certain kind of way, and I don't get in the way of what's happening just to insert myself. You know what I'm saying? Because that's all it would be. All it would have been was me inserting myself to say, hey, I fuck with you, and you know what I'm saying? Da 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 da. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Take it from there. It will be that opportunity at some point, you know what I mean? But it ain't no trip, eat out or, you know what I'm saying? Because I came to do what I came to do. I got my own art I need to make.
I can dig it. All right, well, I got two more questions, but last performance question. And maybe you ain't catch it. Again, this is Clips. What do you think about Dougie Fresh with the harmonica?
Oh, man, I had that discussion on site.
Let's talk about it.
My impression of it, he needed to drop the harmonica, man.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And he did it twice this weekend. He did it on both nights. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, nigga, that ain't coming off too well, brother. When we don't know you for that, and you ain't hitting the right tunes with it. You know what I'm saying? No. You ain't even hitting no tunes with it. You doing the, you know what I'm saying, much breath you could get in between the beats.
Yeah.
My nigga.
Take it easy. Yeah, it's tough. Weak. That harmonica is a bold choice. It's a tough sell.
It would have been dope in the '80s. You know what I'm saying?
Could have been.
But
maybe
nobody, mm-hmm. you didn't do it and make it a thing. So now everybody looking for you for the thing that you don't vote.
Yeah. Okay.
We need that. That's it. You know what I'm saying? We got that. We good. You know what I'm saying? That's Dougie.
Yeah, man. That harmonica.
He could drop the harmonica.
Clunky.
What made you bring up the harmonica?
It was just clunky. I told you I seen clips. But what made me say it, they were like, Dougie Fresh kills the stage at Jazz in the Garden or one of the on pages and shit. And I was I'm prepared. Because Dougie Fresh does kill a stage.
Yes,
you know, he's the world's greatest entertainer. You know what I mean? So he gets busy doing what you know him to do. And
right.
And the thing is, he's been doing what you know him to do for 30 plus years, and he knows just how long to do it to where you don't kind of, the shtick doesn't wear thin. It's right. a performance, right?
Right.
So you like, you ready for him to do exactly what you just did. I don't know where my beatbox game is. It's not going, we're not going to hear it right now. But anyway, he pulled out the harmonica and it threw me. And then he was trying to harmonica his way into Not Like Us. And that was real crowbar harmonica work. It was just, it wasn't what it could have been. It wasn't smooth. But what made it so funny, because I felt the way when I heard, I was like, but I'm watching the clip. And the clip, I guess whoever recorded it, is these two women in like kind of in the foreground, like just kicking it, watching the performance. And one looks at the other, and she has that look like, yo, what's going on? You can't hear it say it, but the look, it was just a minute like, yo, what is this? And it just captured exactly how I felt. I don't think you said if maybe he tried it in the 80s, maybe he could have had some claim to it, because I feel like the only person living that could really get away with harmonica work is Stevie Wonder. At this point, I don't know who else.
That's the only one we know that we definitely gonna give it to. But this is just my own little
go ahead.
Thing. If he's to do the harmonica, he need to do some lessons, man, and find out how to get a tune and how to get the notes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's not what
man.
He was doing. He was just
it's just crazy.
You know what I mean? And the first day I was in the trailer so I could hear it, but I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this harmonica? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then I could kind of hear the beatbox, so I was like, okay, it must be Dougie Fresh. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The second day, he was in Cassidy's set, which, you know what I'm saying? He was doing his Pass the Mic Vegas residency set that he do.
Right.
With Fat Joe, Remy Ma, Ja Rule, Dougie Fresh, Slick Rick. You know what I'm saying? And they the Rat Pack as it was presented to us. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow, interesting.
Yeah, so it's like a Vegas thing they do with a Rat Pack. Dougie had on the tux, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It was a thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, boom, they do it, you know what I'm saying? Remy come out there, kill all her little verses and shit, everything that she on, M.O.P., Annie, you know what I'm saying? I'm conceited, you know what I mean? All that.
Right.
You know, Fat Joe come do his thing. Then Ja Rule comes out, do his thing. Nigga, Ja Rule got big records.
You know what I'm saying? For sure, for sure.
Big old records.
But, and this post Irv Gotti passing, what was the reception? Were people a little bit more receptive or what?
Ooh. They was there, man.
Was this?
You
that
ain't get
a.
You didn't. I didn't get. I was actually out there when that happened, and he came, and they received him, but they didn't give him the rousing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
So,
okay.
It was kind of like, ooh, okay. But he still powered through. He did his thing. He did his show. And you can't deny the nigga hits, man. They hits. Yeah. But the image has taken such of a beating.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I was saying this also to, like, we was having a conversation about it. And it was like, for Ja Rule, it kind of like, you had to play some records, and then you drop them, drop the hit in there, the Ja Rule hit in there, and then the nigga just pop up performing that shit. So, you know what I'm saying? That the record to get the applause, and then he'll come and perform it, then it'll just roll right in.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
But when you see him first, it's kind of like, oh, okay, dude, that nigga still work. And it's terrible, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't terrible performance. It was just, you know,
yeah,
I could just feel a difference because I was there. You know what I'm saying? When the record dropped and the reception. And then the reception now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. But shit, I don't like that. Shit like that make me want to read a nigga's memoir when it come out. You know what I mean? I want to hear how he feel. You know what I'm saying? I want to see if this make a chapter. Because I don't think he got a memoir yet. Or if, maybe, I don't know. But y'all let me know if he do. I don't think so. But go ahead. So Dougie.
So Dougie, Slick Rick, you know, part came in, you know what I'm saying? And the way I like the way they split it up, you know what I'm saying? Because, and Dougie do this sometimes too. So Dougie come in, do his thing, Slick Rick, that dude, you know, the show, you know what I'm saying? Then,
oh, Slick Rick was there?
Yeah, Slick Rick was there as well.
Okay.
So that do the show, you know what I'm saying? And then Remy and Joe will come back and do their shit. And then in the end, you know what I'm saying? Niggas will come back. And then they end that bitch with, you know what I'm saying, the end of the show, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, most definitely we are Frankie Day, you know what I'm saying? And then it ends like that. So, you know, it's a great callback, you know what I'm saying? And you're never mad at the show at all.
Right.
The show is like bubbles, man. You can't be mad at the show. You know what I'm saying?
Good. Yeah. Uh-oh. Don't tell me.
What?
No.
Oh, yeah, he came back with the harmonica second time. I got caught up in the good shit.
But not in the show. He ain't put it on the show.
No, he ain't put it in the show. Okay. It was right before the show. I skipped.
Okay.
I went straight to the good part.
I wonder if Slick Rick vetoed that. He was like, yo, should I do harmonica? Nah, let's just keep it traditional.
What I believe Slick Rick vetoed, you know what I'm saying, which was cringeworthy to me and mine, you know what I'm saying? When he was performing, the show, I think, yes, the show. And then, you know how in the show, it's like me and my right hand man, Ricky D. You know what I'm saying? In this particular version, he changed it to me and my right hand man, Cassidy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it was almost like you could see Slick Rick face, like, what? Okay.
man. Especially if Ricky D, especially if Dougie Fresh is right there. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not Slick Fresh, right
Slick
there.
Rick is right there.
Right
Come
there.
On. He ain't gone. He's present. He's right there. He's right, right on your right.
Yeah, he's your right hand man. Right
Come
now.
Come on, man. I can't stand that. But I understand it, but I don't like it. Oh, man. Man.
But other than that, man, it was flawless. Dougie did his thing. Dougie performed the first day to bring out Luke. He performed in the Nasty set, the DJ Nasty set. So Dougie Fresh came out to bring out Luke. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So obviously, Dougie is the man in bringing this shit together. It's just a few little faux pas that, you know what I'm saying, happened. Luke came out, you know, did his thing, you know what I'm saying? The cleanest version of it that he could, you know what I mean?
Now, how we feel about sanitized Luke?
It's in his city. The city of Miami Gardens is doing this show. It's not like from promoters, you know what I'm saying? So it's the city. You got the mayor out there. You got the city, the motherfucking city councils out there, motherfucker. You got the goddamn everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he planned it like he supposed to play. It wasn't that clean, but he just didn't. He started like, he made a joke of it. He started out the second song. He was like, hey, we want something. And everybody like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Reparations.
You know what I'm saying? But then he was like, we want some Pepsi. You know I can't say that, y'all. But then he went on and, you know, he did Scar. He did the dirty version of the songs, but he didn't go
raw. He hit you with the chance. He ain't right. Go he hit bananas.
You
with the,
we want some pussy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right, right, right.
So
right.
We not, you know what I'm saying? We not gonna take it all the way down. You know what I'm saying? But he yeah, did his thing, yeah. So that was cool. You know what I'm saying? What else happened, man? It was good. Busta killed that shit with Lauryn Hill. You know what I'm saying?
What they do? What they do together? Well, I know she he just did her whole show.
Yeah, he just came out and did his thing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so I did speak to Busta. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. You know, just by chance, because I didn't know he was standing right there. I went mm-hmm. and I was looking for one of the producers, and I was like, mm-hmm. "Yo!" And I was talking to him, blah, 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 and then he pointed to Busta. He was like, "Yo, that go Busta." And I turned around, and Busta had seen him point at him. So you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like a what we gonna do moment. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, King? You know what I mean? And it was
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Busta. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Yeah, Busta did his thing, man. Remy was looking good. Uh-huh. I saw Terrell home. You know Terrell.
Of course, Terrell.
Yeah. Terrell, they stylist. He do Fat Joe and all them for a long time. Uh-huh. And so he was out there. He actually saw me first. So I went up there and talked to him. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Relish. We met Terrell. Terrell worked at Iceberg when Iceberg was hot.
Yeah, super hot.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And we had an event with them. With you remember the event with Luda, and we created like a candy store, like a bodega. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Special Ed and a bunch of motherfuckers. Yeah.
And but before the event, Terrell was like, "Come to the warehouse so y'all could pick out what y'all want to wear to the event."
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, nigga went to the warehouse. And just picked out shit just for the event. That was dope.
Mm.
Shout out to Terrell, man. Relish, as they call him on. Baby calls him.
Yeah.
Relish.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So that was cool. Remy had a daughter with us. She was cute. That was cool. Not on the stage, but back when we did the interview.
Okay. Yeah. So you were doing mostly like a lot of backstage interview type. Well,
We had a team. We had a team documenting the whole shit for the post-event, you know what I'm saying, mini-doc presentation that they're going to use to, one, sell the event to sponsors. But also, again, this is a municipal event. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that means it's a lot of politics. You know what I'm saying? A lot of politicians. You know what I'm saying? You got the mayor who's going to use it for what the mayor need to use it for. You got Oliver Gilbert, who is the, I forget what he, city commissioner. Yeah, he's the city commissioner of Dade County.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to use it. And he's like, he uses the commission and the, you know, visitors shit to put a lot of money into this event. So it's important. So it's important that we do it justice for all of the parties involved. So it's not just an entertainment piece. This is a piece that needs to work. And so what my art has to be is a piece of art that can not only look good and feel good, but also make the parties that be look good for doing
right.
it. So that gotcha. they'll continue wanting to do it. You know what I'm saying? And Oliver and Vernita, we go way back. But Oliver went to New Orleans and FAMU with us. And I told a story about the last time that I rapped on stage. I was opening up for JT Money at the Moon in Tallahassee. And when I was walking on stage, Oliver approached me and was like, "Can you help me get Snake Eyes back on the air?" Because the school had did a show. We did a show, and then the school did one, kind of like what we was doing. But the school sponsored it, and we was doing our own. And their show kind of went off the air. I had broke up with my crew. So I wasn't doing no show at the time. I was just doing my music shit. And he was like, "Can you help me get Snake Eyes back on the air?"
What's Snake Eyes? That's a crew or that's a song?
No, Snake Eyes is a show that the school was producing.
Got it.
Kelsey Scott, who was in 12 Years a Slave and on Insecure, got an Oscar with 12 Years a Slave, I think, as part of the crew. Kelsey Scott and her friend Nicole did that show for the school. The school paid. We was some wild renegades before them doing this show that was on ABC of Tallahassee that we financed and we did on our own. And then the school did one for the cable access network that they put, that Kelsey and Nicole did. But anyway, I think Kelsey had graduated. The show was off the air. It was kind of defunct. Oliver approached me like, can you help me get the show back on the air? And I'm like, and this is crucial to my history because I didn't want to do it. Because I'm like, why would I do it? Y'all niggas was, you know what I'm saying? That show was trying to hate on us. Then he told me what the budget was. I was like, well, shit, when do we start?
My right hand man, Cassidy.
My right hand man, Oliver G. Yeah, damn it.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So, in thinking about how I'm going to get this show back on the air, I had met Keith Klingscales, the CEO of Vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll call Keith because I heard they're doing a festival in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I called Keith. He said, cool, y'all could come do it. We'll set y'all up with rooms and make everything smooth for y'all. I was like, bet. So that's how I ended up getting to Vibe, really, because I had that experience with Vibe. And Oliver set that up because he wanted me to do the show. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it all worked together. And now Oliver, he was the mayor of Miami Gardens, but now he's he's the city commissioner now. So, bam, that's how all of it comes together. And then as you're doing this work, you're thinking about how all this came together. And to see a nigga looking at you, he ain't had nothing to do with me doing this job, but when he see me, you could see that he like, oh shit, damn, this nigga still doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Still here. You know what I'm saying? And nigga, you know what I'm saying? It was cool. It was cool to see. It was cool to see
right.
Nigga on stage doing his politics, because the nigga's actually good at that shit. I didn't know. I only see him on Instagram. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when I see him nigga get up and speak, I'm like, oh, this nigga really do this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Dope. Right.
So that was cool.
That's what's up. And my last question is, and this, I mean, I guess this is more about craft. You know, you've been doing this storytelling, video, photo, all of that shit for many years now. And I'm just curious, because when I edit, I'll be having a problem with this. You said you captured all of this. You had to put together a quick recap situation, and then you got some art pieces that you're going to do. How do you not be precious about your footage and know what to cut and what to put out? Like, if you got all of these hours of footage and you're doing a 3-minute piece, how long did it take you to where you like, nah, fuck it. Cut that. That's cool, but we don't need that. Boom, boom, boom. Put that here. Let's put that there. Get rid of that. How long did it take you to do that? And is there any resistance that you feel, like artistically, sentimentally, any of that?
Well, I learned that real quick when you start trying to do it for money. You know what I'm saying? When you are selling to brands and somebody's paying you to do it. Actually, even before I was shooting my own self, when I was doing music supervision, this is the original concept. When I was doing music supervision with Will Packer and Rob Hardy, right? In the beginning, I had carte blanche. Rob would be like, yo, this is what I need here. This type of shit I need here. This type of shit I need here. Then I go find that shit to the best of my ability, put that shit together, and usually that shit come out straight. They like, bet. That's why we fuck with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to the studio with Stomp the Yard. And it's a big studio production. Sony is behind it. And now you got the people at the studio. You know what I'm saying? They got a voice in this shit. And then you realize how shit really work. Because it ain't how it used to work. You know what I'm saying? In a major motion picture, one, the director has the vision. And you have to follow the director's vision to the T. And if the director is Rob Hardy and he fucking with you, it's all good. But if there's another director and they got their own shit and they don't give a fuck what you think, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the studio who got their own vision and their own relationships and the shit that they want. So now you have to split your mind up between, oh, shit. So in the beginning, you take it as, damn, You know what I'm saying? What the fuck y'all need me for? To do the paperwork? I should have just went to law school and been a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? I would have got paid better. So that was the first initial learning of, oh, this shit ain't about me. The vision is a hierarchy. You know what I'm saying? And my vision is all the way at the bottom of that hierarchy. And I have to understand that. So it kicked back in when I started doing branded content. And I got this idea. Shit, I could get these brands to pay for this video shit, right? In the beginning, you start putting your own little vision together. The brand might have notes. You know what I'm saying? These are notes. Mm-hmm. We don't want this, we don't want that. You're like, well, goddamn, that don't really make sense, but okay. You know what I'm saying? You fight it and get resistant. Now you made a mess. You know what I'm saying? Now you beefing with everybody. Everybody beefing with you. Like, motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Just do what we say to do. And you don't want to hear that. So I quickly learned that this is their vision. I'm just here to execute. You know what I'm saying? Put that shit together and get to the other side of the invoice. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm here to do. So mm-hmm. I took my emotions out of that shit. And just started doing, okay, if that's what y'all want, I think, okay, if that's what they want, this is the best way to get to that destination. You know what I'm saying? And usually, mm-hmm. you could add your own vision in there, but you're heading to the same destination that they want to go to. So, in doing shit like this, we got 3 days, we got hours and hours and hours of footage. But none of the footage matters except for the footage that fits the fucking destination. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that makes it super easy to cut. I ain't emotional about none of that shit I'm cutting. You know what I'm saying? At all. All I know at the end of the day, I need to make the city look good. I need to make the show look good. And everything after that is secondary. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's how I approach it. So you don't get caught up. I already know the type of shit I need. I need this, I need that, I need to find all of the politicians I need. You know what I'm saying? Because this shit ain't about, this ain't going on Hulu. You know what I'm saying? This ain't going mm-hmm. on Netflix. This, you know what I'm saying? Fuck my reel. I ain't even got no reel. You know what I'm saying? This is going the place that it's going for the reason it's going. And that's how I approach that shit. You know what I'm saying? I have certain things and certain elements that I know that I need in there to make it feel like a Mr. Muhammad production.
Mm-hmm.
I have an element of I have a POV that I know I want to execute within this shit, but it's all within the context of the mission, and that's how I approach it.
Got it. Now, so that also informs your own Mr. Muhammad Productions. Like when you're doing your own personal stuff, have you kind of honed that skill of not being emotional about the content? And very ruthless about editing down, or is it still something that?
No, that's something you work on when it's your own shit.
That's what I was about. Yeah, that's what I was curious. Okay, yes.
I had that in my mind. That was the vision.
Right.
And then your vision plays tricks on you because when you're in the middle of it, your vision might change from your original vision.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even pay no attention until you like, damn, I ain't got that shot. Nigga, that wasn't the purpose.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it takes a lot of patience with yourself to get to a place of discernment between what's important and what's not, and how to get rid of it and how to keep and what we gonna do to scale it down from all these hours of footage to this. It takes fucking commitment to sitting your ass in a seat to finish it because, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of times you will just say, fuck it, I get paid over here and that'll wait. But that ain't how shit should go. You should finish what you start. And
that's a big lesson that, you know, I've got many of things on my laptop that ain't finished. So I'm not preaching at all because, I like to say a lot of times when I talk to producers and stuff and they like, you know, da 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 da, I was like, yeah, that shit's still sitting on your hard drive, huh? Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I know because there's a lot of shit sitting on my hard drive. Mm-hmm. And you had to, once you had to get yourself really to a place of comfortability in the way you at and what you got to to a place of, I'm going to take this time and I'm going to do this thing, period. And there ain't gonna, nothing going to stop me from doing it. And until you get there, you're going to be wishy-washy about your own shit because you're trying to pay bills and you're trying to do this and you're trying to take care of people. You know what I'm saying? And I spent many years being wishy-washy about my own shit because I had a whole lot of other people I had to worry about. You know? But if I look back and if I take right now and, I take, you know what I'm saying, damn, they're not being here and shit that I still wanted to do that I haven't done, you have to allot that time for that shit. You know what I'm saying? If you don't allot that time for it, you're going to allot it to watch TV. You're going to allot it to fucking do whatever else. But you got to allot that time for your shit, whether that shit is 15 minutes a day or all in one stretch. And that's all I got to say about that.
That's a perfect place to shout out Will and Tamal talking about, you know what I mean, just working on shit in the laptop. Because, you know, my laptop was in the shop for a whole week. I just got that shit back yesterday. Uh-huh. So, you know, getting my vocals over to you to be mixed, I couldn't do it. I had my old joint, my old laptop, and this shit is obsolete. You know, 5 years with Mac, that shit is vintage. This shit is beyond vintage. This shit is obsolete, so I couldn't do it. So I had to go over to my man Will and his wife Tamal's home and sit at their kitchen table and wait. Wait for my file to upload, and they showed great
who
patience.
The fuck is Will and Tamal?
Will, shout out to Will Julian. Will is a comedian friend of mine. He lives in the neighborhood, and every so often we'll go get coffee down the block, chop it up. You know what I mean? If we don't see each other, the clubs or whatever. But when I put my laptop in the Genius, you know, in the Apple Store last week, Monday, I kind of realized, you know what I mean, like I was going to be hampered. I talked about it last week on the pod, but I was like, I think I should be good. But, you know, like I said, the laptop that I got, the burner laptop, that shit is so old. I'm almost afraid to update it because, you know, like with iPhones, that shit is just deceased. It should have died. So my shit is that OS is so OS to go. You know what I mean? So like certain pages don't even really load. So I couldn't use WeTransfer. I couldn't use SoundCloud, and you know what I mean, any of these type of things. And shout out to From Smash, which might be the new WeTransfer killer. We'll see. But anyway, long story short, I had to do an SOS because I was about to either go downtown to a friend of mine's spot downtown, or even real raggedy, go to an Apple Store. I don't even know if you could do that anymore. But anyway, because you know what? I don't even think there's computer labs no more. Everybody got their old laptops and shit. I don't even know if computer labs even exist anymore. That might be something from the past. But I had a quandary. I had to figure it out. And like I said, Will and his wife were super patient because WeTransfer was acting up crazy. What looked to be 15 minutes turned into, I was there for about an hour and some change, and I came right as they were about to watch Severance. You know what I mean? It was like a real couple's moment, and here I come, like, disrupting the whole shit. And again, they were very patient, but you know when it's time to get up out of there. Right. So long story short, it all worked out. I told them I shout them out. So shout out to them. And then, you know, what also, based on what you were saying about, you know, shit being on your hard drive and on your laptop, one of the reasons that I put my laptop in the thing is because the ports were tripping, because I'm trying to drag some stuff off of one external hard drive onto a new external hard drive. And you know, they had to have it for so long that they erased my laptop. Now, fortunately, I had pretty much most of the documents that I had, and I could do a time machine backup if I wanted to, but there's the threat of whatever might have been corrupting my laptop might get re-downloaded. So I'm starting new. I'm only one day in on the new shit, but I will tell you, There's a bit of like lightness in not having all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, some shit made it, some shit might not have. Some shit I might not know that didn't make it until way later, but it's like giving yourself a whole new lease on it. And back to your point of, yeah, man, sit down and finish the job, whatever that shit is. Even if it's not the best cut, at least you got it done and the exercise is there. Because what you said was like, you'll allot that time to some movies or podcast or fucking YouTube or whatever. Like, the time is still there. So if you can, invest that time in your own shit. So, yeah, I say all that to say, yeah, I'm happy I got my machine back. You know what I'm saying? We back in the game and shit, man. We creating. We moving forward.
That's what's up. Shout out to them for that shit. Yeah. We couldn't have got the show up last week without.
Yeah, nah. You know what I mean? # protect the streak. You know what I'm saying? we like to deliver. So we got some allies.
And shout out to my man. I was at the festival, ran into one of the conversationalists out there.
Okay.
I don't want to be wrong because I might have forgot his name. I know it started with a P, and I'm not sure if it's Pete, but he know who the fuck it was. He saw me out there. He was like, yo, Mr. Muhammad. I'm like, okay, you know what I'm saying? I dapped him up, but I didn't know who it was. And he was like, yo, I listened to the podcast. I'm like, oh, shit, man. Then we took a picture of all that. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Met his wife. You know what I mean? It was all good, man. So
that's what's up.
That's good stuff to know. You know what I'm saying? You know, that that listeners are real. In real life, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, you might listen to a pod, it's just a voice, you know what I'm saying? And then you might see a comment, you might see something like that, and it's just, you know, the internet. But when it all pops out in real life, it hits differently, you know what I'm saying? And it makes it a lot more worth it.
Nah, that's what's up. Yeah, man. And real quick, speaking of listening and vintage and, you know what I mean, YouTube, I got caught up. I ain't go into a deep hole, but somehow came across my YouTube algorithm. I found the video that was talking about vintage stereo systems from the 90s. Not like the old joints from the 70s, the 80s with the tubes and, you know what I mean, like Macintosh. But it was just this one YouTube account. I don't know how I came across, but they were just talking about like how a lot of these old tuners, you know, like Onkyo, Sony, Pioneer from like the late 80s to the like early 90s are like on eBay for damn near nothing, like $50, $100, and they're in great shape. The way the cat was talking about, he's like his whole page is about vintage sound, like old shit, new, like all of that shit. So he was dropping gems. He was talking about, you know, certain bookshelf speakers that were like, again, very cheap, but they bang, you know, and it was just like, yeah, it made me have one of those. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, like, because I'll tell you this, because right now I got to get a new Bluetooth speaker. You know what I'm saying? My Bose is pretty much on its last legs. I had this joint for a long time, and it got a good knock to it. A Bose has a Bose knock, right? And then I'm looking for all these. I'm looking at some of these new Bluetooth speakers, and like, some of them are aesthetically cool. Some of them look ridiculous. And, you know, the knock is like the knock, but it ain't the knock. You know what I mean? Like, it's a difference between a speaker, like a speaker with some speaker wire, maybe a wooden cabinet, like the knock on that shit. And, you know, obviously I live in an apartment, you know what I mean? I got neighbors and shit like that, but it definitely had me thinking, and maybe I still might pull a trigger, but it had me thinking I might revisit and get me one of these old school tuners and get that knockback, because it's something different. You know, you could obviously Bluetooth it or hardwire your iPhone there, whatever, and obviously we're dealing with MP3, so it's a little different. But I do feel like there's been some sound concessions. You know what I'm saying? There's been some sound concessions, and I like a good, as my man Big Boy would say, a good speaker box. You know what I'm saying? I like a good, if you remember from way back in the Vibe days, I had a little knock at the cubicle. I think about that shit. It was a little, you know what I mean? It was a crazy knock for a corporate environment. But what I'm saying is I missed that shit, and I just kind of came across like this little, like, again, like, just wound up in some little back-to-back videos of vintage sound systems for the low that are still performing on a whole nother level, and it piqued my interest. I was like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know. I mean, I know there's Sonos out there and all of that shit, like, a lot of the new sound systems, or maybe I'm not all the way here, but a lot of the new sound systems don't hit like I kind of want it to hit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But,
maybe your audiophile.
I could be. I mean, it's somewhat, you know what I mean, casual, because I think you want to be an audiophile, you got to really, like, there's a commitment. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really want to play in the game. But I do like audio. I be funny about the files. You know what I'm saying? I like audio. I like cinema. But sometimes, you know, the files, files is deep. But yeah, I like good sound, for sure. You don't like good sound?
I love good sound.
You think you're audiophile?
I mean, in spurts.
You don't want to take that file on.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, the shit, uh-huh. Shit hits you when it ain't right.
Right.
You love it when it's good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But would I go out my way to make sure it's always good? Not so much. But I am in the market for some audio ambiance at the crib.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, cats put me up on the Sonos environment. So I'm looking at that. But then, you know what I'm saying, my homie had a set of vintage speakers. They probably from the 70s, 80s. But them bitches still, you know what I mean? Yeah. Speakers are speakers, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Word. And they be speaking.
Yeah. Speakers be speaking. So I am looking at that sort of thing. I do have all this vinyl that I resurrected out the motherfucking basement.
See?
That I want to fuck with. So I'm in the market. I'm just not out there right now today looking. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna get around to it. You know what I'm saying? Gotcha. And then there was a spot here in Atlanta. They got a couple of spots. You know what I'm saying? I told you about that crazy ass party, Controllerize. But the guys who do it, they do another similar type event with producers and DJs. But the room is more like a sound room, like a audiophile room. You know what I'm saying? I haven't checked it out yet, so I'm gonna check that out. But I have checked out this place called Stereo, which is, you know what I'm saying, I don't know if it's an audiophile room, but, you know, it got the vintage big speakers, vintage looking big speakers, like, you know, like old school looking shit, and it's all vinyl. So, and then the wood paneling to preserve the, you know, soundness of the room and all that type of shit. So it is a thing, and it's a theme that's going around that, you know, that piqued my interest. I just haven't dug deep into it just yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, keep me posted. Let me know what you wind up settling on. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Shit, you might get that before me.
Maybe. We'll see. I we'll see what's what. I don't know where I would put these speakers, but yeah, that shit kind of, like, it sparks some shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember all of that era. You know what I'm saying? Just like those faces and all of that shit. I was like, yo, that shit, ah, yeah. Something is tactile. But speaking about remembering an era and being tactile and being like, damn, bring you right back. Raising Canaan is back, brother. Raising Canaan is back. You know what I mean? And shit, you know, they got right back to it, I think. You know what I mean? And we're gonna talk about it, but speaking, but just off rip, because it's right here in front of me. We just talking about all of this shit. I got a shout out, and I don't even know how to pronounce the name. Spelled TSIGIE, White Robinson. What? I don't know if the T is silent. I don't know if it's Siggy. This is the costume designer for Raising Kanan. Uh-huh. And then Anya LeBeau Tupac, who's the set decorator.
Uh-huh.
And then Tad Kronak, who's the art director. I've been forever, for the last, as long as we've been watching this, I've always been like, yo, they, as far as the that set design, that clothing, the little touches, whether it's the big league chew and the vending machine in this episode, or, the McDonald's cups, you know what I'm saying? Like, they on point. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to shout them out by name. You know what I mean? I'm probably going to research them and see what's what. But, yeah, let's get into the episode, man. How you feeling? What you think? Tell me about it. Talk to me.
It's good to be back. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's good to, the aforementioned crew people that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Good to see their work again, because they always on point. You know what I mean? As far as the time period. So it's good to be back in that environment with people who care about the details of a production. I like that they kind of threw you back to bring you up to date, because it's like we never really started the new season, because they just went and kind of let you see the explanation of how it all went down. Mm-hmm. Took you back to the moment. You know what I'm saying? Even if they did it without 50's narration, we would have got it. You know what I'm saying? 50's narration kind of brought it all the way home and put the heavy hand on it, but it didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We know where we at. We know what universe we in. You know what I mean? We in the power universe. So we just going to do power things. So I'm with it. We ain't to the action yet, but we almost there. You know what I'm saying? We started. I don't know if you want to take the story part away, but that's my initial thoughts of it all. And when we get to this part of the story, I will have one should have did this, should have did that, but I ain't going to do it till we get there.
Well, now you take us on the story tip. Okay, I got just some notes. So you take us to the story tip. I'll throw some notes at the end or whatever. You know what I mean?
Okay. The story comes out. They, 50 tells us, we ain't get this, like, you thought you saw one thing, but sometimes you don't see everything, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't catch all of the things that I missed, because that was a while ago, you know what I'm saying? Because I forgot all the things anyway, you know what I mean? So they went back through, from where Unique, what's his brother's name? Crazy brother?
Ronnie.
When Ronnie and Kane and Daddy got shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unsuspectedly to Kanan, like, what the fuck, you know what I'm saying? So then they show you Unique getting up from the dead, because he sure was dead, you know what I'm saying? Getting up from the dead, climbing out of the woods, you know what I'm saying? This episode is Gangsters Don't Die, so I'm assuming they're alluding to the gangster and Unique. So Unique makes it to a phone booth. I'm not sure where he got a quarter from. Maybe he called collect, but he called for some help.
Mm-hmm.
And his homeboy Early came through and got him. I'm not sure if Early made any of the earlier episodes, but he was new to me.
I don't think so. Nah, that's Chris Redd. Shout out to Chris Redd, comedian, used to be on SNL. Yeah. Salute.
So Early came and scooped him. You know what I'm saying? And took him to his house. Well, no, took him to the veterinarian, which, you know what I'm saying, code word in most gangster movies, you know what I'm saying, you get shot, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times a veterinarian will take care of you, you know what I mean, because you can't go to the hospital, or won't go to the hospital, or unwilling to go to the hospital. So they took him to the vet. I don't know what the vet could have done for him, because the nigga had skull fractures and all kind of shit, so I think he just gave him some pain medicine and told him, you know what I'm saying, take it easy, you know what I'm saying, you might want to go to the hospital.
Basically, yeah, that's what he told. Look, man, I can't guarantee nothing. I'm gonna give you this shit that I give a Labrador, but you know, I'm done.
Last week I had a German Shepherd with this exact same shit. You know what
right. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, keep going.
So yeah, so he was basically saying he was, you know what I'm saying, telegraphing the plot point that, you know, people, like when people have this type of injury, they usually, you know, they can have, you know, difference of a personality when they wake up. So I guess that was kind of telling us that, you know, unique, probably going to be a little more unique than he used to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we go to Early's crib, and he showed dissing the shit out of Unique. He is a good disgruntled helper. You know what I'm saying? Like, motherfucker, man, where's my money, nigga? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You trying to ride in a car. You can't make it across my motherfucking kitchen, chump ass nigga. Come on. You know what I'm
saying? Zero bedside manner. Nah, zero. Yeah.
So Unique just taking it, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he trying to get better, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, they also flash us back to the night when Famous performs in Lou's little bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not sure what we were supposed to see there, but I ain't see shit. But
nah, I didn't either. And I was looking hard. I was looking hard because 50 was like, now pay attention because you didn't see. I'm like, I'm looking. I'm like, well, what happened? Who did what? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's like one of Magic Eyes.
Right.
But yeah, I ain't catch it either.
So Unique is performing. The song sounded a little more jamming than it sounded the first time I heard it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So that's something. You know what I mean?
Kane, I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait, got a quick question. I didn't go all the way back and check. Is that the same bartender as it was last season? Because last season I was calling her Bonnie Raitt. She didn't look like, I don't know if they Aunt sure. Viv, the white woman. Let us know. I'm going to go into the credits, but I'm not sure if it's the same woman. Maybe it was, maybe it is. I'm not sure.
Right, you know, 50, cent, anyway. 50 Cent say he will recast your motherfucking ass.
Yeah.
So then we went to the table with Jukebox, her loon lady, and Kanan. And mm-hmm. then when Jukebox got up, you know what I'm saying, her lady had a bunch of questions about Nicole or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And mm-hmm. Kanan playing super nonchalant as Kanan does, you know what I'm saying? She all right, you know what I'm saying? She all right, you know what I mean?
That's a good Kanan, yeah.
Uh-huh. And we going over to Lou. Lou's still in the dumps, you know what I'm saying? He was priming it at this point, so he over there doing what he do, apologizing to Juke for not making the audition. I think he went to jail that night, didn't he? But I guess he ain't want to say all that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. He was bugging out. But oh, real quick, does Jukebox know that Nicole is dead?
Now, which one is Nicole? I thought Nicole was the white girl.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, not Jukebox. Does Aisha, Jukebox's girl, who was asking Kane and all the questions about Nicole, I'm curious if she knows that she's dead or not.
I don't know. I mean, I assume she did, but I didn't think of it.
I would imagine so. Because just reason, I would think so. I would hope so. Right. I would assume so too. But the only reason I'm saying that is because there was a little moment of like, not insecurity, but like, you ain't got to worry about somebody that's dead. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look at Jada and Will. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, shit, you never know. You never know. All right, anyway, keep going.
I'm just trying to think where I left off.
Oh, all right. Okay. You were talking about
this whole episode
Lou
was kind of a flash.
Bad.
Was it a flash? Yeah, it wasn't all.
It was
flash.
Just a replay.
Yeah,
it was
replay
a replay
of that scene.
Yeah.
Then we go into Unique passing out on the bed. You're like, you know what I'm saying? That bitch, right, got to get off my conus. And then he whispered to himself. I guess he thought he was talking to Early, but Early had been gone. You know, Early don't be giving a fuck. Mm-hmm. Tell her that I love her.
Mm.
And then they show Rocky, and she in the mirror in the bathroom and got to throw up. So now she's a middle-aged pregnant woman.
You know what I'm saying? So she ain't got time for no children right now and do all this shit, you know what I'm saying, daddy did. So, you know, we go straight into the abortions segment of the show. You know what I mean?
The abortion segment of the show is wild.
I mean, it was a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. It's a couple scenes.
It spoke to a lot of issues. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Spoke to a lot of issues. One, that she was getting rid of the baby. They trying to, you know, they doing what they doing. They do diligence as medical workers. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And, you know, especially back then.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you're going to set you up for the mental health screening. Right. Like, motherfucker, you know how many motherfuckers I done killed around this month? Right. You don't get my, you know, man, you know who the fuck I am, type shit. Right. Like, shit, her emotions ain't there like that. You know what I'm saying? And I feel it. You know what I'm saying? They ain't there. You know what I mean? So, all what they was thinking wasn't what it was. You know, so, you know, she's conflicted because, you know, when she was on the way home, her and Jukebox, you know, I guess this was an episode of Secrets as well. Her and Jukebox was going on the way to the crib.
Right.
And then Jukebox asking her, does it hurt? She was like, nah, it's just uncomfortable. You know, Rocky ain't going to admit to no pain. Right. No shit. And then then she told her that was Unique's baby. And Jukebox like, ain't wasn't this the nigga you trying to kill? Not out loud, but in her head.
Yeah.
You trying to kill this nigga 2 weeks ago? And then she, you know, she forced upon, you know, I need a better reaction than that. You know what I'm saying? It was a force. Yeah. It was a little forced moment, but it's okay.
Which was interesting, though, because you hit Jukebox with the most nonchalant baby father reveal. You know what I'm saying? Abortion, this was his baby. And then when she tried to play it as cool as you play it, you're like, yo, come on now, Ma. I mean, like, you know, are you going to drop your jaw? Or you gonna yell or something? Like, I need something, which is an interesting moment. But I do like, I have to say this, I've said it before, I always like when Rock and Jukebox are on the scene together, because they both get busy and they know how to kind of bring about a lot in just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. We got it.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? They got that out of the way. And then, of course, it's like, that's our secret. Now take it to the grave.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Goddamn. Shout out to Women's History Month, boy. Because, you know, you say they both get busy and women will take that shit to the grave, nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Never know.
So that was that, you know what I'm saying? Then Kanan going through his own, you know, he back at the schoolhouse. He's forced to write a paper on his grandfather just to let us know that he still ain't speaking to his mother. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never, shit, since third grade, I ain't really heard of writing a paper on your family. But
especially in high school.
Right.
It's that's some shit you do in elementary school.
Right, it's a high school dissertation that, you know what I'm saying, if you don't do it, you're going to fail. And if you fail, we're going to tell the caseworker and then your ass going to the foster home. A lot. But, you know what I'm saying, that's part of the plot. You know what I mean? He's forced to write his paper on his grandfather. So he don't want to talk to his mother, so he goes around and talks to other people. And he starts off with his grandmother. You know what I'm saying? We know the grandmother would be to be tough and always looking for some money. You know what I'm saying? She was surprisingly grandmotherly to Kanan. You know what I'm saying? And she told him the things that he wanted to know about his grandfather. And it was wild because she was like, you know, she had all this good shit to say about him, but then she was like, but he didn't like me. He liked a lot of things, but I wasn't one of them. You know what I'm saying? Which is wild. You know what I'm saying?
I missed that.
Huh? No.
I missed that.
Uh-huh, she said it because it resonates with me because people be saying that shit about me, and it's not true. You know what I'm saying? It's not true. You know what I'm saying?
That you don't like them?
Yeah, and it's not true. You know what I'm saying? I might be nonchalant, but you know what I'm saying? It's not a dislike at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's shit crazy. But anyway, I just hope that I'll check out and everybody be thinking this nigga ain't even like me. Fuck him. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny.
So, you know, she broke it down from her perspective of the grandfather. Then he went to Lou. Lou broke it down. We went to Marv. He broke it down. Then he went to Lou. And then in the end, the mama tried to come to him, and she like, well, shit, I got everything I need to know. You know what I'm saying? So they still beefing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then we got the Uncle Marv segment of the show, our favorite hustler. You know what I'm saying? Marv got to do a side mission for the Italians because the Italians can't step in because they need to step to a made nigga, which, you know, is against the rules in their world. They had to get permission. So he wants want to get this motherfucker straight, his son-in-law straight, because his son-in-law around here cheating on his baby girl. You know what I'm saying? And he want to straighten mm-hmm. him out. So let me get a Mooley Young to get it done for me so it won't trace back to me. You know what I'm saying? So now he gassing Marv up on the, you know what I'm saying? I always like the way you work, blase, skip, bomb, bomb, bomb. That's why I ain't call your sister. You know what I'm saying? He went around rock, talked to Marv directly. Marv gonna hold it down because Marv looking for some motherfucking, some good validation. You know what I'm saying? He been a good hustler for a long time, but he gets no validation. You know what I mean? So so this validation feels good to Marv. So Marv sets off on a side mission to go straighten out the son-in-law with some violence. So he followed him. He see homie, you know what I'm saying, wilding out, getting hit in the car from somebody else, followed him. But when he get to the first follow spot, you know what I'm saying, he had two other cats roll up, you know what I'm saying, two of the Italians rolled up with old boy. Mm-hmm. So he was outnumbered, you know what I'm saying. He wasn't there to kill him, so he stepped off, had a few slick exchange, you know what I'm saying? They told him to get mm-hmm. his monkey ass back to Fort Greene, nigga.
yeah, that was funny.
And then he hit him with a, you know what I'm saying? He couldn't just walk away. He was like, hit him with a, you crackers must not know.
crackers. I got different maps. Yeah.
But did he say GPS?
I think he said maps. I'd have to look at it. I think he said you crackers got different maps.
Okay.
I thought he said
you crackers got different GPS, but maybe I'm tripping.
Yeah, I'm about to go back a third time.
I'm gonna have to check that shit. But
he was a little sloppy though. When you seen it as he pulled up, he didn't see them two cats approaching.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, typically Marvin ain't sloppy, but sometimes Marvin can be
a little sloppy.
Yeah, a little sloppy. But go ahead.
Loose with it. But what the other part that I thought was real sloppy, in that moment, and he wasn't able to execute, he called them out by name.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he said, unless it was the other two called the white boy name, but somebody said the dude name. And I thought it was Marvin, and I thought it was sloppy. But I could be wrong, and I could be being sloppy. But
yeah, I got to go back. I don't know if he said his name, because I know after Marvin get in the car, he greets the other guys. He greets the guys, and then they say the name, but Marvin was in the car by then. I'd have to go back. We'll have to check it out.
I think somebody said his name.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. But I kind of feel a way about this whole Stefano. I was about to call him Tony Maselli. This whole Stefano, Marvin kind of, you know, working together. Maybe behind Rock's back, kind of behind Rock's back. I mean, Marvin had the "she ain't the boss of me" type of moment.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know if that's going to end well.
It's a divide and conquer technique.
Yeah, it could be that too. It's definitely some dividing, you know what I mean? Like, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. But I'm curious about what's gonna happen with Marvin if this Tommaso situation is as clean cut as he expects it to be. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because the cat is a made man. But go ahead, keep going. I get to talk about
shit. So that's Marv. Marv eventually runs up on him at a hockey rink or whatever after a hockey hockey match or something. And, you know what I'm saying, you know, hits him and then tells him to stop cheating on his wife. Now, that's when it became a little funny for me.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, first of all, that was the lamest speech, non-speech ever. You know what I'm saying? To get the point across. I don't know how that's supposed to get the point across. Secondly, he only hit him once. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It screamed for a lot more violence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Called you a monkey.
Yeah, I mean, at least for the get back or the monkey of it all. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Sure. Not even just the job. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just the, you know, I mean, you got to give the viewer something. You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious.
Like, you came off soft, Marv. That ain't you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Break a rib or something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, I thought he was going to cut his face or something with the ice skate.
Something. Yeah. you know what I'm saying? So then, you know, Stefano, great job. Here's a cigar. Let's smoke a cigar. And I owe you one, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, you use my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Right. You my nigga, okay? You know what I mean? It was all right. So, you know, we don't know what kind of setup Marv's side mission is going to take us on, but we own it now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And one thing about Marv, whatever side mission he on, he going to be eating.
He's eating
some fruit, some chips, something. He's snacking. That nigga going to never be able to get away with a crime. Nigga leaving crumbs everywhere. That's Hansel and Gretel.
Hilarious. Oh, shit.
So... and then there's the goddamn unique storyline where he promises he's gonna get back at the people. You know what I'm saying? He knows that his brother did it, but now he's trying to think of who else was involved and why his brother did it. And you know what I'm saying? He sends Early out there to do some reconnaissance. Weird that he used that term, but yeah, he sent old boy to do some reconnaissance, and he came back and was like, you know, Rock is getting dope from some of his old friends, and you know what I'm saying, taking over the corners. And then Unique's like, she said she was done. Mm-hmm. She's trying to backdoor me, get rid of me like she did all of her other niggas. You know what I'm saying? Def Con and High Post. I don't even know who High Post is.
That's before that. But the funny part was Early was like, but you wasn't even there to like that.
Right.
Your shit was more of a situation shit. What are you talking about?
You weren't even a man like that, nigga.
That's funny as shit.
Early be slick on the motherfucker slickery.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So now he got a vengeance, and then that... He's, you know, he's following around trying to get, you get, you like, you got your gat. It's like a Menace to Society scene. Mm-hmm. Hey, yo, dog, you got your gat? You know it. And then he handed him the pistol.
Oh, shit.
He handed him the pistol, but it was reluctant. After he handed it to him, he was like, shit, man, what this nigga gonna do? So this nigga had a whole dissertation.
Mm-hmm.
He held the gun. He felt the power of the gun. Mm-hmm. It's like Thor with his fucking hatchet, whatever his fucking shit
is. Hammer.
His hammer. Thor with his hammer. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Unique with his hammer. Feeling the power resurge back into him.
Right.
Points the gun at Early.
I thought Early was going. It was an early death. It was over for him. Yeah,
why you gonna kill Early, nigga?
I don't know. I thought it was over.
I thought Early had talked one piece too much shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So then he starts to stalk around. Right. All of the individuals. He runs, he sees Lou stumbling out the bar. But old girl came out, the new Aunt Viv came out and told him he couldn't drive home and took him back into the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So Unique retreats back into the darkness.
Yeah.
Then you know what I'm saying? He then you see him, who else he ran up on?
That was it.
Then you see him run up on the crime scene when Ronnie gets killed. And scattering out Rocky, Kanan, and whoever else was with her. You see them leaving out. So he goes in after them and sees the bodies of Officer Daddy and his brother Ronnie.
Officer Daddy.
Kanan did go see his officer daddy trying to get his story on his real grandparents from his father's side. He's like, nigga, that is the stupidest shit you ever thought of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nigga, you was gonna write a story about niggas, people gonna put it together, nigga.
Yeah.
And you might wanna think about coming to my place of business, which is crime enforcement.
Right, right.
There with you your drug dealing ass.
What are you doing? That's when you realize Kanan is still a kid.
Right.
As much as he doing all this other shit, he is still like a young knucklehead on a certain level.
Right. Looking for love. Just like all of them looking for love that seemed to have been zapped from them when their daddy killed himself, I assume.
Well, see, that's a good point, because that's one of the things I wanted to speak on, like, it's interesting that they're introducing this whole grandfather backstory, and then they getting these testimonials from Lou and Marvin, and, you know, you don't get to hear Rock get to speak on him yet, but Rock says, I was his favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, grandma's talking about, I guess he ain't like me or whatever, but, like, you also hear that, you know, how they all reminisce over him, and they tell his legacy. You can see how him taking his own life affected them. And also, I'm curious if it's some foreshadowing for another suicide. You know what I mean? If anybody, maybe Lou.
I mean, Lou's been trying to kill himself for the last couple seasons.
Yeah, for a while. It's starting to get a little redundant. It's like, all right.
Is your ears or is your ain't?
Exactly. Yeah, come on now. Exactly. But go ahead.
That was just the final scene when Unique pointed his gun at his brother's head posthumously. Maybe he's gonna give him one to the dome just to get it off his chest.
For closure?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well,
they didn't show that part.
I got some notes. I got some takeaways, some thoughts. Let me see. We got to talk about a lot of this shit. This is shit that was, because I watched it again just to prepare for this. So I was like, no, veterinarian with a wheelchair, he definitely does side work. You know what I mean? He got a wheelchair. He don't need a wheelchair for the dog. What else did it? I was curious if Rock caught Howard snitching. If you remember, she went back to the vending machine to kind of look at what was going on, and he was talking to one of his supervisors or whatever, one of the detectives. That was interesting. I already said I don't feel a way about the Marvin and Stefano situation. We talked about the grandfather backstory. Howard was real protective about his family. Not only the fact that it's gonna lead to, nigga, you know what I mean? I'm a cop.
Right.
But it was also like, nah, nigga, you can't interview my family.
You can't talk about my family.
Yeah, nigga, nah, you can't meet my family. Fuck is you talking about? So that was interesting. The Aisha family did it. It was all right. It was just nosy. You know what I mean? Nosy parents. Always, Jukebox always in these moments where it's like, well, what you gonna do? Jukebox, if you talking about Menace, she be on some Kane shit sometimes. It's like, well, what's your future? I don't know. You know what I mean? She real, I don't know with it. She kind of want to go to the army, but then it's like, do you want to be in butter?
Nigga, she already enlisted.
Well, we seeing them Army Greens and coming up. I don't know if you saw the trailer.
Nah, but
they got her running around and look like basic training or something.
Uh-huh.
So we talked about that. Graham looking lonely. It just made me think about being older and lonely.
You know what I'm saying?
Graham, the grandmother, when he came to go visit her.
Oh, yeah, that's the other secret that
yeah.
Was.
Oh, yeah, she got the kidney cancer.
Yeah, kidney
liver
cancer.
Kidney cancer, which is too, I don't like that it's that kind of fun to say, kidney cancer. That's not cool. But anyway, she looked mad lonely, and it just made you think, like, you know what I mean? Living alone and shit like that, being old. You need a squad. You really need a squad if you really want to live life to the fullest. And like, it also made me think, like, later on when she was in the hospital, like, when you get old, there's a certain, I don't want to call it resignation, because it's not. It's like this comfort or this peaceful relationship to death that's chilling. to people that are kind of younger. You know what I mean? And then what I thought was selfish, you know, we said this is the Secrets episode. They'll put all of that shit on Kanan. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I got kidney cancer, but keep it on the low. And you're the only motherfucker I told. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to do it as I do it. But I guess maybe that's their relationship, because it also made me, I also had the thought, there was this one line where I was like, when Kanan was at the crib with his lady, and his lady was kind of trying to give him some game from her deadbeat dad, who used to run a health store before he broke out. You know what I'm trying to give him more some P&L knowledge. But his grandmother, I guess, called. I would figure the doctor would call, but his grandmother called. But why he talk to his grandmother like a nigga on the street? He like, yo, Grand, where you at? He was just like, all right, bet, I'm on my way. But anyway.
Man, he talked to everybody like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and you can see that in these YNs right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody's broke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There ain't no real separation no more. Yeah. And their grandma is, she harder than all of them. So, you know what I'm saying? She got a lot of shit, slick shit to say, too. So.
Yeah, that's true. She maybe, she groomed it. She groomed that gangster. Elijah Thomas, that's the grandfather. He was born in 1925. I just thought that was interesting. My grandmother was born in 1925. So that made me think of that. Marvin still snacking. We got that. Off the books abortion. That's what Rock said. Yeah, I had one off the books. I was like, yo, that's crazy. But I get it. It's a sign of the times. We talked about the early, and this is funny too, because this is, I guess, it's like a era thing, right? But it was funny because obviously early, it just got off work, long day, so he in the recliner, barefoot with a 40. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, see, I watch enough, it is what it is. It's like, is that AO or is that just self-care? You know what I'm saying? But so it was that. Thought he was gonna kill him. We talked about that. When Rock, that little tender moment where Rock was like, yo, I don't care if you don't like me. I still love you. You know, right. I always hear people, you hear people say that. That's become a thing to say sometimes it felt a little too aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what you think. I'm going to always love you. I don't know. It's just a weird thing. But what made me, I watched that scene. He had like a little Ferrari Testarossa poster, and it made me think, do kids even have posters on their wall? Or is that just, did that die with print media? And what is the equivalent? Is it like just following the people you like on Instagram?
That shit went to Tumblr, then to Instagram. Now, you know what I'm saying? You got screenshots, you know what I'm saying? Might have a screenshot, put it on your wallpaper. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Okay, wallpaper. Right. That's it. I guess so.
New mamas don't want no holes on their wall either.
Well, new mamas might, never mind. It might, anyway. Nicole's pops. That's not the heroin addict. That's the other guy, right? The heroin addict.
Not the heroin addict. That's Nicole pops, that's, who like her. I guess. You know what I'm saying? Her inspiration. He keeps her pumped up. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
You know, he's giving her all the shit that she don't get round the way. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Proxy pop.
Proxy pops. Because you know her. Everybody around her stoic and hard as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely like what pumps life into her. You know what I'm saying? I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. You know what I mean? Even the shit like, you going to the army? I mean, you know, they ain't really the most welcoming, but you know what I mean? We'll figure it out. You're gonna be a pop star. Jess that came back to see Lou. That's Famous' sister, right?
I couldn't figure that one out, man.
I remember that was the one.
Back. I ain't know.
Okay.
It was Famous' sister that he was rocking with, or was that old girl, was that old boy from girlfriend? The studio.
Was that Crown's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Crown's girlfriend, who was his artist.
Right.
And then Lou started smacking. Right. Okay, I thought.
I don't remember Famous having a sister, but that's just me.
I thought Famous had a sister because I thought that one of the, I think Lou used to date Famous's sister at one point. Oh, remember back when they all used to meet at Jackson Hole?
Yeah.
That was like their little cheers and shit. I think that was, because I think they got shot up and that was like their first date. And she was like, damn, nigga, you be getting shot.
Maybe,
like, okay. Maybe. Again, y'all let us know. Y'all let, you know what it is. Lou and Rock's New York accents is mad funny to me sometimes. They just be so clipped. You know what I mean? Like with, she was like, I'm going to come back. Oh, doom. I can't even do it, but like that shit is funny to me. We talked about
that is Famous sister.
Okay, yeah, okay. Bat. Playoff nines. Yeah. I like that little shot when he was going to see his grandmother. They opened up that shot focused on his feet. He had the playoff nines on, but it was just an interesting way to showcase the sneakers, and then it came up and then it went. It was just a cool little shot. I thought that was cool.
On who feet?
On Kanan's feet when he was coming in to go see his grandmother. If you go back to the beginning of the scene, there's a couple little edits that I thought were kind of cool. There was that one edit from like when Rocky is at the police station and she's going to the vending machine and then it cuts and you see Marvin going to speak to Stefano and it's just like a smooth little edit. It was kind of cool. I would say Unique turned. It's turned into Ronnie. Like, he's a little creepy, half, like, wild motherfucker now. Like, when he was lurking about to kill Lou, and he got his, you know what I mean? Like, his little, like, just aggressive, you know what I'm saying? Like, I need justice type shit. No real, like, Unique used to kind of have a little bit of, like... He was a little smoother, a little cooler. He had a cooler head. Now, obviously, I mean, he back from the dead. You know what I'm saying? And he want, but he, it reminds me a lot of Ronnie, especially in that moment where he was hiding out off to the side. Reminds me of when Ronnie got clowned for his lease. Mm-hmm. He hung out after the club, get that shit off.
The vet did say he's gonna personality.
Nah,
gonna
that's
change.
What it is. Yeah,
he might become
changing.
Ronnie.
He might, that's what I'm thinking, because then he, you know, when he went to go see Ronnie, that Ronnie spirit got in him. And then the last thing I liked on the end credits, and I think it's like the second or third time that they played some Rakim. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they
I forgot
they
about that song too.
When I heard it, I was like, oh, this shit hard. But it made me like, let me go back into Rakim's catalog because he got some shit. Right. And that was one of them that's not like a go-to joint.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's fire. But I was like, nah, I got to revisit the catalog.
Right.
So, yeah, that's it. I'm happy with it. You got any predictions? You know, it's the top of the season.
Early. It's
you know
too early. We ain't even really get into it yet. You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay.
I'm about to, you know, lay back. Enjoy the ride, you know what I'm saying? Stop trying to play in the future and stay in the present.
Like that. Nice. Before we go, real quick, rest in peace to Roy Ayers. That shit was crazy. But but on another note, rest in peace to my man Jamal Meeks. Cali, aka Reality, you know what I'm saying? He was a cool dude. You know, I met him back. Cali, he just passed away recently. I met him back when he used to cut at Levels up on 125th Street. This is way back in the day. And great dude, you know what I mean? Real good dude, always in like always positive energy, good spirits, always a good laugh, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, later on, he got into the industry. He was working at SRC for a minute. But also, like, he used to do these, him and his lady, his child's mother, you know what I mean? It's lady at the time, Chalant. They used to do this showcase called Faces in the Crowd that they used to have me host quite a bit. And, you know, shit, it was a good time. You know what I mean? And I hadn't spoke to him. I texted with him maybe about 6-7 months ago or something like that. But it was funny. Not funny, but it was just odd that literally the day before I'd heard the news, I was literally thinking about getting in touch with him because I seen him comment on a post. I was about to like his comment. I was like, yeah, I need to text him. You know what I mean? I'm going to like his comment. And then the next day I got the news. But, you know, rest in peace. My condolences to Shalon, his children, his sons. You know what I mean? The rest of his family. He was a real good dude. And, yeah, I just wanted to salute that man.
Word up.
Yeah, man. You got anything else you want to say?
That's it, man. Shout out to Miami Gardens and everybody out there riding with us. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
Until next week. That. You know what I'm talking about?
There it is. I would say cue the harmonica, but we going to chill on that. listen, before we go, this Friday, Arlington Draft House, Arlington, Virginia. I will be there Friday, 9:30 show. If you can hear my voice and you live in that area, pull up. Let's have a good time. Arlington Draft House, Arlington, Virginia. Also, Brokerage, March 28th, 29th. And Comedy Vault, Batavia, Illinois, June 26th through the 28th, I believe. All of that, almost all of that, Arlington Draft House is not on the, it might be on the website tonight. I got my laptop back. But all of that is DamianLemon.com. Get your tickets. Get your tickets right now. Hope to see y'all in the building. We've been having a good time. You know what I mean? With these road dates, people been showing up. And, yeah, let's continue it. Let's build some shit, you know? And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah.